You're listening to the Bridgeway Church podcast audio found at bridgewaychurch.com/podcast or on iTunes, keywords Bridgeway Church.
My name is Andy Edwards and I work with junior high and high school students, which is great that I get to, I know that I've got like my high school students and my junior high students praying right now, you know, that the Lord speaks. And we do have an amazing youth group. And so just to plug the youth group for a second, we are meeting tonight. So if you're junior high or high school, we're meeting in the back room at 5 o'clock, which we do every week. And then this Thursday night, if you need more info on what we're doing, we're having a swim party at the Balls house, which is going to be fabulous. Directions will be back there. Call me, email me if you have questions, all that. I am always excited when I get the opportunity to share. And I guess it was probably 2 or 3 months ago, Sam said, hey, I'm going to be speaking all week at these conferences, and so I want you to speak on May 30th. Say May 30th? Yes. Okay. So right then I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I was already reading through the book of Galatians. And if you've read the book of Galatians, it's an intriguing book. And I went there because sometimes I fall into this category of people-pleasing. Like my whole life becomes making everyone else happy. And then that carries over into my relationship with God where I just say, okay, God, how can I earn your acceptance more or earn your approval more? And so I was like, I'm going to start reading Galatians because I feel like the book of Galatians is going to, the Holy Spirit's going to use that book to show me that I don't have to live that way. And so I started reading through Galatians, and for 2 or 3 months I've been reading and just been trying to marinate on the scripture. And so we're going to be in Galatians chapter 1, and we're just doing the first 9 verses, Galatians 1, 1 through 9. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And while you're turning there, I want to compare two churches, okay? The Corinthian church and the Galatian church. And if I was just to describe it like this, this is where you get to interact with me a little bit. I've read multiple times that the church of Corinthians was described as having persistent problems such as division, sexual immorality, social snobbery, considerable theological confusion about marriage, divorce, participation in pagan religions, order within corporate worship, and the bodily resurrection of believers. So you would look at the Corinthian church and go, they were a mess. They had sin everywhere. It just seemed like it was rampant. So I was like, so I wonder what Paul's mindset was towards the Corinthian church. And then you go to the Galatian church, and it was described as having false teachers. Okay, so there were false teachers that had kind of infiltrated the ranks there. And they were teaching that circumcision and obedience to the law, along with Jesus, was necessary for salvation. So my flesh looks at those two. And of course, Paul says, they're both wrong. Like, they're both needing reproof and rebuke and correction. But my flesh says, oh, but the Corinthian church, that they were really bad people. Like, look at the sin that was building up in their body, and what is wrong with that? What's wrong with them? But if you look at the language of Paul, and you look at all of his epistles, and every one of them, Paul says, and he starts out with his normal greeting of grace and peace, but then in every epistle, except Galatians, he goes in and says, I give thanks to you, I'm praying for you, I'm exhorting you, I'm encouraging you. And it's really strange. So in Corinthians, you see that, and that's why I thought, okay, so Paul's language toward the Galatian church was a little more harsh. There was more of a rebuke there. And I got kind of confused because myself, I look at their outward behavior and say, no, the Corinthian church was, and of course, I want you to hear that both churches didn't have it down. But you need to hear that for some reason, Paul's language in Galatians seemed a little more harsh. So let's start in Galatians 1, verse 1. And it says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom the glory be forever and ever. Amen. And you can stop there. And at that point in all the other epistles, Paul's going to go on to say, I love you, I'm encouraging you, I'm praying for you, I'm exhorting you. But it's crazy, in Galatians he just says this, I am astonished. So immediately he's going into a corrective. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. He gets real intense here. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. And so he jumps straight into this correctiveness. And as I was comparing the two and started thinking, well, did he have, of course he's Paul, so he has the right. But my brain says, does he have the, why is he coming down? Why is there this harshness? And it was still a fatherly harshness. It wasn't a, I don't like you people. It was more towards these false teachers that had come in. But I think the thing that really got me was as I was reading through this, and he went straight at the heart. And it's because in the Corinthian church, they at least understood the gospel. Now, they were living in freedom and licentiousness, and they were really living out their flesh, but they understood at least the gospel, that they didn't do anything to gain the gospel, to earn the gospel, to receive it. They just received the gospel. But something was going on here that was different. That Paul said to the Galatians that he's astonished that you so quickly deserted. And so he went right off and moves in that direction. So just to start off, there's a quote by C.J. Mahaney that basically says, I think he's going after legalism here, which you have to be real careful in church. But he says, legalism is this: seeking to achieve forgiveness from God, justification before God, and acceptance by God through my obedience to God. Okay, so I need you to hear that again. Legalism is seeking to achieve forgiveness from God. So us achieving forgiveness from God, justification before God, and acceptance by God through our own acts of service or obedience, or so we're obeying so that God will love us. And so what happened in this church is these false teachers had come in and they basically said, yes, Jesus is good. Jesus is good, but you need to add on circumcision. You need to add on the Mosaic law. And here's the deal. When you start thinking about this, my brain always starts going, okay, circumcision, Mosaic law, what does that mean? How does that like apply to me today? And we're going to dive into that. But if we have to do a little background of Galatians, I want to do that so you at least understand. Galatian was a group of churches in modern-day Turkey, which I always think is interesting because modern-day Turkey is where the gospel was one of the starting points. And if you go there today, which I've been multiple times, the gospel isn't very evident there anymore. So I think, what is God doing in all of this? And so, again, Paul was more harsh. So there were these people called the Judaizers, and they believed the gospel was not enough. They believed and were telling Gentile believers that they needed the law. So it's basically saying, yes, you can have Jesus, but with Jesus, make sure you come up front and do a backflip. Then you get salvation. Okay, so I received Jesus, and I do a backflip, and then I get salvation. Yes, well, what if I can't do a backflip? Well, you're going to have to keep working at it. Practice, practice, practice. Because the backflip is the answer, right? That's not really the answer. Backflip doesn't do anything. But neither did the Mosaic law. Neither did circumcision. It didn't save anyone. It was grace alone in Christ Jesus. So if you go into the text in Galatians chapter 1, notice that this gospel is not for man. So earlier, these people are preaching that the gospel of Jesus is not a thing of tradition. But the new false teachers had come in and were saying, no, the gospel of Jesus is fine, but you also need to live out this law or this certain direction that you have to do, these certain acts that you had to do to add on to your salvation. And listen to this. He goes, if you just start going right off, he says in verse 1, not for men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So right off he says, Jesus Christ, who God raised from the dead. So he starts the gospel. As he's writing this letter to these people in this church, he already is saying the gospel is what's important. Keep going. And all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. He says that in all of his letters, but there's something special about it because he's saying it's you Galatians that need the grace. You can't earn this. You can't gain this on your own works and your own merits. But listen to what he says next in verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Who gave himself for our sins. Let me grab some water. All of us sin. All of us are in need of Jesus alone because our goodness is not good enough. So I think this is amazing too. He says this, the word deliver, I think sometimes we think the gospel is the doorway, and that's where it kind of stays. Like, you go out into the world and people are lost. The gospel comes, Jesus Christ comes, he gives his life, he dies on a cross, he's raised, and then all of a sudden you turn and you're in the gospel. It's the door. It's the doorway. But it's more than that, because I always have thought that gospel is evangelism. That gospel is just telling someone about Jesus, they come to know Jesus, and then they have the gospel, so then they just turn and go tell people about it. But it's actually the gospel that living at the cross, living at the feet of Jesus, and what he's done for us is where we can actually grow. Like, the gospel isn't just the proclamation of truth to people, but it's every day waking up and saying, Jesus, I have to come to you because my tendency is to try to do this myself. My tendency is to try to live out the life that you have called me to live in my own strength and power, and I can't do it. But if you don't go to the gospel every day, you begin to think you can actually do it. You begin to think that, no, I know what Jesus did for me, but he saved me. That's great. So now, in my own strength, I can start telling people about Jesus. I can start walking out my faith. I can start being kind to my neighbor. I can obey the law. And what happens, you realize, is you still can't. Like, what? Why can't I? Because we're not going to the gospel. And because repentance and faith is something that's going to happen continuously in our lives. And I think we get afraid of the word repentance because it feels like, oh, repentance means I did something wrong. Of course, but it's a healthy word. Like, the word is calling us to repentance. The Lord is calling us to repentance and to live in a place of repentance, which means I'm always aware of what's going on in my heart and how I'm acting towards people. And it's not because I have to act right towards people so that God then in turn loves me. But it's because God loves me and because he gave himself for me that I can then turn and actually love someone else. So if you go to Psalm 16:2, if you want to turn there real quick, it basically says this: you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Okay, you've read that a million times, right? You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And then, so my follow-up question is, do you believe that? Because you know what sneaks into my heart all the time? I do have good apart from God. I'm a good person. It's my own will that I chose to get up and to go and give an older gentleman at Walmart yesterday a cart, to take his cart away so he didn't have to take it back to the little place and put it up. So that's just the goodness of my heart. No, that is Jesus. And as long as we continue to live in a place that that's the goodness of our own heart, we're not recognizing what the gospel really is, and we've left it. We've actually turned and walked away from it, like these people. So, remember the word deliver, okay? Deliver means every day, every hour, we're in need of deliverance. The same word there in Galatians 1:4 to mean deliver is the exact same word when God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. So you remember the Red Sea, the deliverance. What did the Israelites do to save themselves that day? Nothing. They didn't part the sea. They couldn't do it. The same word that God says to deliver you from your sins, from this evil age, is the same word that he used for Peter when he was in jail. And so Peter's in jail, door's closed. Who opens the door? God. And without God opening the door, Peter doesn't get out. He's not rescued. He's not saved from that situation. Same with us. We tend to think that we have our own righteousness. We tend to think that we are pretty good people, or we're moral, or we think we have things figured out. But even in this church, it's funny that he comes straight at him. And if you keep going in verse 6, I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting him who called you to the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The people were deserting a clear presentation of the gospel and turning to self-righteousness and moving away from Jesus alone. Okay, so these Gentile believers were being told by these false Jewish teachers that, okay, Jesus is fine, but don't you need to also follow these rules. and then you're saved. So it's like doing stuff to maintain your salvation, doing stuff to add to your salvation, and it doesn't work. Like, you can't do it. And then I think, sometimes, why is the church not on fire for the Lord? And why are we not being obedient to the Lord? And most of the time, when I start really going back to it, it's because we don't understand what really happened on the cross. We don't. We think this is a good thing, the cross. And it was a good thing. It is a good thing. But it's more than that. It's life. It's everything. And these people were starting to say, okay, yeah, I still believe in the cross, but I have to do this other stuff to maintain. So turn to Galatians 3. And again, it's hard when you're trying to do a little bit in Galatians and not try to like finish the whole book of Galatians when you've been reading it like crazy. But look, Galatians 3, and this is what he tells them. He charges them with this, and he's charging me with this because this is my life. This is where I live. Galatians 3, O foolish Galatians. So he calls them fools. And he says, who has bewitched you? He's basically saying, you're under some sort of curse. Like, what's going on here? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Paul had gone to these people beforehand. And he had given the most, apparently the most amazing description of Jesus Christ crucified for their sins, for their freedom, for their deliverance. And he's like, dude, what is happening? I was right there. I was laboring with you. I was telling you about the Father and how they sent the Son, and the Son died on the cross. I was reminding you and reminding you. And then all of a sudden, he says, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected in the law? And that is the question that I have for you and I today. And I was going over this with my wife yesterday, and I was thinking, babe, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going to talk about. And she got somewhat confused because I was not being very clear. And I want to make sure we understand that I am not saying you all need to go back and see, like, when I first accepted Jesus, did I really have that faith? That's not what was happening here. These people were slowly being deceived by the fact that they did have faith in Jesus alone, but that new people were coming in and saying, but go ahead and do a backflip, because without the backflip, you don't really have Jesus. And Paul's like, no, if you have Jesus only, you really have Jesus. And it's only if you really have Jesus that you can then live like Jesus. But as long as you're trying to get accepted by Jesus or feel like loved by Jesus more because of your actions, you're just putting yourself back under this place where you were before you knew Jesus. So when I didn't know Jesus before, I was one of those kids that always tried to do the right thing. I saw some mistakes in my older sister in various ways, and I was like, okay, that's not the attention I want. So I want the good, like, good Andy attention. Pat me on the head. Great kid, whatever. So I went after it fully. I went after it with my family. Like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to make the right decisions. And then it just flowed right into my relationship with God. God, look at me. I'm doing everything I can that's right. And yes, I mess up sometimes. And yes, I sin a little bit. And of course, as I'm knowing God more, I'm like, no, I don't just sin a little bit. And then every day, I'm like, I sin more and more. And I'm like, no, wait a second. If you're telling us you're growing in Christ, but you're sinning more and more, I don't actually think I'm sinning more and more. I think all of my sin is being more and more recognized. I'm starting to see it. The Holy Spirit shining this light of, just light of, look at what's going on in your heart. And light of still things that I think I need to earn, gain, whatever. Listen to this quote by D.A. Carson. And this is how so many of us treat Jesus. Might be up there. It is. Jesus is not simply the God-man who comes along, helps us like a nice insurance agent. Jesus, this is what he says. Jesus, he's not actually saying this. He's being funny, but Jesus is a nice God-man. He's a very, very nice God-man. And when you break down, he comes along and fixes you. And so I think, how many of us treat Jesus like side of the road? My car broke down. Jesus, come help me. Well, the problem is, my car broke down, right? Just him getting me to the next place doesn't do it. He's not just a really good, good man. I need him for everything. I need him for life. I need him to be able to walk down the road with my thumb out. Like, without Jesus, I'm dead. Without Jesus, I have no life. And so apart from Jesus, I continue to try to earn what I can earn. And you think, so you met Jesus, though, when you were 22 years old, so did that change? No, for some reason, Martin Luther says our hearts continue to default back into religious mode. Default back into like, oh, but I want to gain or earn your love. And God says, you don't have to. I have paid the price. So when you look through it and he says, they're turning to a different gospel. My question is there a different gospel? And there is no different gospel. There's only one gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, gospel means what? Good news. So there's a lot of good news out there. Like, some of the best news of my life is the day I married Laura. And I could go proclaim that. Good news. Look, my wife, she's beautiful. She's amazing. And I love it. And I can proclaim that good news. And I can proclaim the good news of our seniors graduating. And that's good news. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, changes everything, and it is everything. And that's the difference. Good news is out there everywhere. And what they were doing is saying, there's another gospel. Add to it. Don't add to it. Don't add to the gospel. Take Jesus Christ at his word on the cross, crucified. So then you say, okay, so if we can't add to the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is simply this. You and I are separated from God. Because God is perfect. I am not. So what did he do? He sent his son Jesus Christ to come to live a perfect life, which I could never do. And then he died a death on a cross where he took literally, pulled sin off of me, put it on himself. Okay, now that's the first good part. But the second good part is that then that perfect life he lived and his perfect righteousness, he then lifted and set on me. And so now God looks at me through Jesus Christ and says, you are righteous. You are accepted. You are loved. And that has to start being the place that we live our lives out of. Not trying to get accepted or be accepted. So the gospel is that. Does that make sense? Does that like click? And you go, don't we talk about that every week? Isn't that like, you're acting like this is a new story for us? I understand it's not a new story. But I need you to understand that it's real. And that the gospel isn't just when you got saved. The gospel is when you wake up every day and realize you don't deserve it. But because he loves you, you can live in it. And you start looking in Galatians, and as he keeps going, you're going to see in Galatians 5, like, how do I live in the Spirit? And what is this freedom he's talking about? None of that matters until you understand that you are justified. And I think somewhere in my notes, which now I don't know where it is, I wrote down a good definition of justified. But I can't find it. So here's my deal. I will try to make it up. He bestows, this is all from memory now. He bestows the righteousness of God on us without us doing anything at all. So stand there, sit there, lay there, whatever. You did nothing. He said, you are now righteous because of the death of my son and because of the resurrection. Now you can live. I'm like, I don't have to do nothing? I did nothing? No. And for me, it was 22 years old. And did I fully understand all of that? No. But it's amazing. The more I read the word, the more I hear the gospel, the more I want to live in the gospel, the more I want to understand it, the more I want to live my life surrounded by the cross of Jesus and going to him at every possible moment. Let's finish up here on the just verse 7, not that there is another one, but some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Paul takes this so seriously, and he is so much trying to focus on these people that he says, even if I, Paul, come back to you and tell you Jesus plus something else, let me be accursed. And the cool thing about Paul is he's first saying, if it's an angel, let him be accursed. If it's me, let me be accursed. But then the next verse, he repeats it again and is like, these people that are in your midst, that are adding to salvation, let them be accursed. Like, it's serious. It's serious. And then I wonder if there's no other gospel, and if the gospel is free gift of Jesus, why do we still go around trying to earn it? And this was another Laura and I conversation, because here's what I don't want. I don't want us to think, well, I don't add to salvation. There's a lot of us that don't, in our minds, add to the moment of salvation that happened in our lives, the moment when we accepted and received Jesus. But then we continue to live like we don't need Jesus. Or we live like he's just a cool helper. Or we live like some days yes, some day no, but we don't live at the cross. So I have a test for you. You ready? Okay, this is going to test your heart a little bit. And just so that you don't think that I am just this all-wise person, which I know you don't, I got this test from Tim Keller, because he is really wise, all right? And I'm learning, the more of some of these guys that I read, the more my heart comes alive. I read the Word, and then when I read a Tim Keller or a D.A. Carson or whoever, like, it's like throwing gasoline on the fire, and you just keep hearing the gospel and keep hearing the gospel and knowing that I need it. So here's the test for you. You have to really get in your heart here. Is this you? I'm going to give you two options every time. I obey, therefore I'm accepted. Is that where you live? Think about it. I obey God, therefore, oh, thank you, I can be accepted by God. Or do you live in this place? I'm accepted by God, therefore I obey. Right there, little spotlight on your heart. Religious heart, gospel heart. Where are you? I so often live in the stinking religious heart. And I default back to it. It's like on my Mac, when I hit internet, it always comes up Firefox, because that's the default set. If I want to change it, I have to actually go in and say, no, I don't want Firefox, I want Safari. If you're not a Mac person, you don't know what I'm talking about, and that's cool. Because I'm not really a Mac person, I just like it, it's fun, really. So, do you understand the default thing? Your heart defaults after salvation to try to go back and earn it again. To try to go back and try to well up the action to be like, great, well, what do you do? So that's a pretty good test, I think. Here's the next one. I obey God in order to get things from God. Anybody like that? Okay, if I obey him, I might get a pay increase. You're like, what? It happens all the time. If I'm really just obedient to the Lord, good things are going to happen. I obey him to get things. Or I obey, this is like this is just flipping my mind upside down. Or I obey to get God, to delight in him, to resemble him. Like, I obey because when I'm walking in obedience, I am delighting in who the Father is. And I'm living at this place of the cross that he came and died for me. Okay, next one. I'm going to get into your world here. You ready? When circumstances in my life go wrong, ever happened, raise your hand. It's got to be 100%. If not, you need to come talk to us, because that's amazing. When circumstances in my life go wrong, I am angry at God, or I'm really angry at myself, since I believe that anyone who is good deserves a comfortable, good life. I think it. I'm good, I deserve comfort. I'm good, I deserve good things. How about this? This is the flip side of that. When circumstances in my life go wrong, I struggle. But I know that my punishment fell on Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross, and that while God may allow this for my training, he will exercise his fatherly love within my trial. And you're like, that's just spiritual talk. Nobody really lives like that. But how amazing is it when we actually start walking in the grace of Jesus? Not anything that we add to it, because we have nothing. We are empty. We are completely full of sin. And the hidden sin that's in our heart sometimes isn't the blatant sin of lust or lying or exaggerating the truth. Sometimes the sin that's in our heart is self-righteousness. It's pride. It's we think we deserve. we think we should get this because we act this way. Okay, a couple more just to try to really stay in your life here. When I'm criticized by another person, never happened? I am furious or I'm devastated because it's critical that I think of myself as a good person. Threats to that self-image must be destroyed at all cost. Like, what? You know, it's crazy. A lot of us live there. When we are criticized, we immediately, what do? We throw up the defenses and we attack. Why? Because we don't respond like this. When I'm criticized, I struggle and I get frustrated. But it's not essential for me to think of myself as a good person. I can recognize my faults. I can recognize my errors. My identity is not built on my record or on my performance, but on God's love for me in Christ demonstrated on the cross. Like, such a difference. Like, if we can start living in this gospel place instead of this religious place, it changes us. And I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to leave the last little test part out. But here's a question, too. Do you choose to be honest? Like, think about it. In your life, do you choose to be honest just because it pays? Just because if you don't, God will punish you? Or God will not love you as much if you don't? Or do you choose to be honest because at the cross, you saw the sin of lying as so costly that Jesus had to die for it? Every sin that enters in to our minds and our hearts it's free gift of God that he completely abolishes our sin, takes it upon himself. But do you still live in the costly place? Do you understand that the sin that you're committing it put Jesus on the cross? You have to look at your motives. So where do you fall in these situations? Religious heart, gospel heart. Paul is trying to encourage these Galatian churches to please don't go back to a religious place. Gospel alone, the cross alone. So let's end with this, Galatians 5, 13 and 14. Because we can talk a lot about like, okay, we're fighting sin, we're fighting our own issues, we're fighting our own self-righteousness. So what does that mean? Galatians 5, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what we look like. Think about this. Just think about that verse. Here's what happens. A Corinthian church had probably taken grace and said, oh, Jesus died for me, he forgave me, I can do whatever I want. Right? So yes, Paul did correct that. He came against that. But the Galatian church, they're not understanding that you don't have to add to it. So right there, there's freedom. But don't use your freedom as just a license to do anything. And here's the deal. If you really live in the gospel, you won't use your freedom to disobey God. If you really live in the gospel, instead of using it as freedom, it actually says right there, what happens? You, through love, serve one another. For the whole law, which we're not under anymore, is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you think, okay, I don't understand where you're going. When you live at the cross, justified by the grace of Jesus, your life becomes mission. Your life becomes offering for other people because you just keep showing them who Jesus is at the cross. Isn't that great? And then he keeps going, how do you walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh? Live at the cross. Well, what does that mean? Continue to go back to the cross. Continue to remind yourself of what Jesus did on the cross, because when you do that, you see yourself, you see your sin, you see him as holy, and you realize he gave up everything to come and love me and give me life, so now I can live in that. You don't have to perform anymore. You don't have to pretend anymore. You can just live your life at the cross for all the glory of Jesus. So how do I get out of the moral heart cycle that I'm in of like, I keep trying to get back to I want to be accepted by God. You are accepted by God because of Jesus. Go back to the cross. Repent. And listen to this, and I'll close with this. When we understand the crazy, amazing love God has for us, that He took us from sin and death to perfection and life, that then in itself begins to inspire us to be obedient and to live by the Spirit. Not because we want approval or acceptance. We already have that in the cross. But as we go to Him and daily see His mercy, we begin to want to serve and love this God who gives us everything. We live at the cross where life flows, and then and only then do we begin to be obedient to God and really love our neighbor. Do you want to love your neighbor? Do you want to know who that is? Do you want to be obedient to the Father? You've got to keep going to the cross. And then the cross itself inspires us to love unconditionally, inspires us to be obedient with all of our hearts. And every time we fail, which you will do every day for the rest of your life, you go back to the cross, and it's a safe place where you can repent, and then He gives you the faith to keep going. Man, that's where I want us to be. And this is what He's doing in me, so it's really fun to be able to share that with you guys. So if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. If you felt yourself really leaning towards a religious heart, we are going to have just a small time of ministry. And I know we have so much going on. It's Memorial Day. But I am a fan of always giving people opportunity to respond to what's going on inside of your heart. So just ask God right now, is my heart become religious? Or is my heart gospel? Is my heart religious? Or is my heart gospel? And if it's religious, you just say, Jesus, I don't know what to do, but I love you. And I just ask that you forgive me and you move me and you repent. And He does it right then in that moment and gives you the ability to keep going. So just for the next few minutes, and you can stay seated, stand up. Joel's going to sing a song. And if some ministry people can come up forward, I'm going to pray over us. And then if you just feel like, I want someone to pray for me, that I would just live out of the acceptance of who God is, what He's done for me, and how much He loves me because of Jesus, then just come and get prayer. If I have confused you at all, just ask the Holy Spirit to be really clear in your heart. Because the gospel is everything. Jesus isn't just a part of it. He is the gospel. And He is the mediator between us and God. Father, we thank You so much for Your love and Your grace. And I just pray in the next few minutes as You just penetrate hearts and talk to us, Lord, that this week would be different because this week we live in Your gospel. I pray that all of the stress and anxiety of living up to people's expectations, to God's expectations, Lord, I pray those would be lifted off the shoulders of these people and that they would live free lives in the gospel and that Your gospel would be proclaimed throughout this city through these people who are living broken lives but that are completely covered in the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and work and move and change our hearts even in these next few minutes that we might be different people as we begin to encounter You at Your cross. And Lord Jesus, I pray through the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would change us on the inside. And that the cross would be everything to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to stand and sing with Joel, and then ministry people, if you guys want to come forward, that'd be great.
This song is, it'll be a new one, but it was kind of written in response to Andy's message.